song. All the little birds on Jay Bird Street love to hear the robin go tweet, tweet, tweet. Rockin' Robin,
tweet, tweet,
rockin' Robin,
tweet, tweet,
rockin' Robin,
tweet, tweet,
tweet. Blow rockin' Robin, cause we're really gonna rock up tonight.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Every little swallow, every chickadee, every little bird in the tall oak tree, the wise old owl, the big black crow, flap of their wings, sing and go, bird, go. Rockin' Robin,
tweet, tweet,
rock, rock,
tweet,
rockin' Robin,
tweet, tweet,
go, rockin' Robin, cause we're really gonna rock tonight.
Oh yeah, a little Rockin' Robin. That'll wake you up in the morning, won't it? Good morning. And welcome to the Rockin' Freedom Works Show. That was Bobby Day, by the way. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. That's who I am. I'm Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, we thank you so very much for being with us. It is Friday, April the 14th, halfway through the month already. Holy Toledo. Time is flying. We got a lot going on the show today. We're glad you're with us. In a few minutes, Ryan Young of the Competitive Enterprise Institute will join us, and we are going to talk about the stubborn, ongoing inflation and what can we do about it. Do we need more intervention from the Federal Reserve? We'll talk with Ryan about exactly that in just a few minutes. And a former Obama administration official and a stenographer for Joe Biden, says that Biden and his family are involved in a huge kickback scheme overseas. He can prove it, and we are going to take a look. So stay tuned for that as well. And is the U.S. dollar about to take a backseat to the Chinese yen on the world market? Boy, oh boy, everything seems to be going south for this country, does it not? We're going to take a look at that particular issue. It's a huge concern, so stay tuned for that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, we gave you in our last program the top 10 most patriotic states in the country. So this morning, the top 10 least patriotic states in the country, in America. Stay tuned for that as well. I got to start off the show because it is so big of a deal, especially around Tampa Bay. We've got a baseball team that refuses to lose. What have they won, Ed? They've won their first 13 games in a row now. Is that correct? And if they win tonight?
Yes, sir.
If they win tonight, they will be the all-time number one team to start out with from the get-go with that many wins.
To win 14 games in a row. To start the season, yeah.
Absolutely.
They're off to Toronto.
What's going on with the team? You watch the games.
Okay. Let me answer this.
Yeah, he's got a call. Okay, I'll tell you what. We'll talk about that a little bit later, Ed. That's all right. That's okay. I want to talk a little bit. Let's get back to the real news, I guess you might say. And what's with this guy, Jack Teixeira? FBI agents arrested this kid, and I say kid because he's like about 21 or 22 years old. He's a Massachusetts Air National Guardsman. He's been stealing all of our secrets. And then he goes, he's got this group of buddies online, and he's passing the secrets out all over the place. So the FBI honed in on him. He lives in North Dighton, Massachusetts. I'm not sure where North Dighton, Massachusetts is. I suspect it must be near Boston somewhere. Everything in Massachusetts must be near Boston. So he was arrested yesterday in connection with a trove of classified documents. Merrick Garland said that this 21-year-old kid is being investigated for the alleged unauthorized removal, retention, and transmission of classified national defense information. A lot of people want to see the guy subject to the death penalty.
Well, he had to have hacked into something.
He was getting the information in his capacity.
Okay, but
he might have hacked into something.
But he worked for the National Guard. He didn't work at the Pentagon.
Well, that's exactly right. But did you?
So I wonder, what's his security clearance?
You know that our crazy rules allow him easier access than certain people in Congress?
I mean,
That's really,
these buffoons that have stars on their shoulders are worried about the Chinese when it's their own backyard we can't control.
Texera joined the National Guard, the Air National Guard, 4 years ago. He held the highest... So he joins the National Guard, and somehow he holds the highest level security clearance granted by the federal government
for
top secret information.
So the National Guard?
Yeah, so all you got to do is go to Massachusetts and join the National Guard. You'll have privy to all of our secrets.
Isn't that like being the best assistant bus driver out there?
That's what I would say. I mean, this is absolutely insane, is it not? Now... this guy, kid, it doesn't sound like, but you never know, it doesn't sound like his intentions were to sell secrets to Russia or China or Iran or something like that. But he had, even at the age of 21, you got to realize.
Well, you know what I'm waiting for?
What?
Well, I'm sure he's a Trump follower.
Oh.
That's got to be coming out.
Well, if he's in the Air National Guard, there's a possibility that he is. People that tend to join those organizations tend to be a little bit gung-ho, don't they? Which means that they tend to be a little more conservative in their values. But we don't know. Why would he do this? We're going to find out. In the meantime, his stuff that he lets out is all over the world. Russia's got it. I'm sure China's examining it. The only one that doesn't seem to realize what it's all about is a guy that's floating around Ireland still.
We just showed Johnny you're
Joe
wasting,
Biden.
We just showed Johnny you're wasting your money on balloons. Just wait, one of our buffoons will let the information you need out.
Yeah, there's more hot air with these buffoons than there is in the hot air balloons. Texera was most recently stationed at Otis Air National Guard Base.
I think that's Texera.
Okay. Yeah, you're probably right.
We don't want him calling the same. We got his name wrong, you know? It's Texera!
All right, sir. Thank you for correcting me. Texera. Although it's spelled T-E-I-X-E-I-R-A, but I guess it is. That sounds right. Texera. All right. The FBI began surveilling Texera in connection with the leaks before yesterday, but they were forced to go after him and get him because the newspapers started publishing information. The New York Times, and apparently after that the Washington Post, got wind of it.
I saw one brick short of a load, John Kirby, said
he
blamed the media for posting that out there.
Isn't John Kirby the one that said... yeah, we got out of Afghanistan just fine, thank you.
He thinks nothing it's the media's fault. The media shouldn't be posting stuff like that.
So this is, of course, one more thing to worry about when it comes to the falling apart of our country. You know, we got so many things going wrong ever since Biden came into office. And it's just getting scary.
Do you remember the good old days when all we had to worry about was a mean tweet?
Yeah. During the Trump administration, of course, and at least when he would get up and go around the world, and he did a lot of traveling, Trump did, we weren't involved in any wars or any, you know, takeovers of the Ukraine or possible takeovers of Taiwan or everybody in the world and his brother crossing the southern border into our country. Or the price of gas being $5 a gallon in some places. Boy, I long for the good old days, don't you, Lynn?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, listen, we're going to switch tracks here. We're going to take a break. When we come back, our friend Ryan Young of the Competitive Enterprise Institute is going to join us. We are going to talk about our stubborn, ongoing inflation and what the heck we can do about it.
Pearly white, just a jackknife. Has old Maggie Heap, baby, and it keeps it out of sight.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Ain't it good
to... This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back on a Friday, and we thank you so very much for being with us. And we are delighted to have a friend of ours, Ryan Young, from the Competitive Enterprise Institute, join us. He is a senior economist there. We are going to talk about this crazed, stubborn, ongoing inflation situation, although I guess the Bureau of Labor Statistics released its CPI summary the other day. It shows that our consumer price index went up by 0.1%. I don't know if that means much, but in the month of March, our inflation went down a little bit. I imagine the Biden administration jumped on that news. Ryan, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Oh, it's a delight to be here.
I just don't know what to think about this inflation. But you mentioned that the Fed needs to continue, the Federal Reserve, to continue tightening our money supply in order for prices to come down. Could you explain that a little bit?
Sure. I mean, if you want to explain inflation in one sentence, it's that if you print a bunch of money, you're going to get inflation. That's what happened during COVID. The Federal Reserve grew the money supply by 40% over 2 years. And over that same time period, the economy grew by 4%. When you have that kind of imbalance, 40% versus 4%, you literally change the exchange rate between money and real goods and services. So that's where most of the inflation came from. About a year ago, the Fed started doing the right thing. They stopped creating new money. They started drawing things down and raising interest rates to slow down the velocity of money. So that's an ongoing process. There's a lag time going on. There are other factors going on. Inflation is actually a little worse than what the numbers that came out this week say. So the Fed, when it meets in about two more weeks to make its next interest rate decision, they need to keep doing what they're doing despite pressure from the administration and from Wall Street to stop with the increases. They need to keep at it.
Now, if we continue to raise interest rates, and this is apparently what you're pushing, this means that people will slow down their borrowing and their spending. But then we have to worry about, because it's a two-headed sword, right? We have to worry about a recession. A recession where the economy starts to go into the doldrums. A lot of people are now saying we can expect one if we are indeed not in one right now, correct?
That's right. It's a trade-off. The Fed made a mistake. And one way or another, we're going to pay for it. So it's a question of two bads. Sometimes life gives you no good options, and you only have bad ones to choose from. What we're asking ourselves, is it worse to have continuing high inflation, or is it worse to have a recession for a few months, possibly? I would argue, and most people who lived through the 1970s would also likely argue, that high and variable inflation is much worse. It makes it harder to make investments. It makes it harder for businesses to make supply chain decisions. It makes it harder to buy a house, to buy a car, you name it. Because when you mess with the price system, you mess with everything.
Right.
Whereas recessions are usually over and done in less than a year. But we're going to pay a price for what the Federal Reserve and what Congress and the President did with their overspending and their overstimulus. We're going to pay. The question is how, and what's the least bad option?
Yeah. Why did the inflation come down a little bit this past month?
Because the Fed started doing the right thing about a year ago. There are lag times with these things that range from 6 months to as long as a year and a half. We're about a year in. That's why inflation is 5% now instead of 9% like it used to be. The reason it's stubborn, though, is because the Fed, frankly, doesn't have a lot of credibility, and neither does Congress or the President for restraining their spending. One reason the Fed created so much money is because their hands were a little bit tight. They had to finance all the new debt that was coming from the CARES Act and the infrastructure bill and the student loan debacle and this and that. They need to cut that out, and the public needs to believe them that they're going to cut out. Because businesses...
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say, you're absolutely right. I'm thinking about, we always have this concern towards the end of every fiscal year or whatever it is, that we don't have enough money to cover what we have said that we need to spend on. We don't have enough, you know, left. Yet we are taking in, are we not? We are taking in more money. The government is taking in more money now than it's ever taken in. But we are spending, obviously, much more than we have ever spent. And that's where we seem to be running into trouble. And then the argument is, well, we can't shut down the federal government by decreasing our spending. We have to raise the level of spending that we have to pay all of our bills and all of our debts. It seems like it's an ongoing, every year it's that way.
Yeah, it's likely going to stay that way for a long time to come. And one reason the administration wants low interest rates is because when rates are low, in addition to the economic stimulus effect, it devalues the dollar, so it makes it cheaper for them to pay back some of the borrowing. It doesn't change the price of it, because everyone else pays through higher prices and everything else, but it makes it a little easier for the government to pay back its debt.
Yeah.
So there's always that political pressure. That's why an independent Federal Reserve, to the extent we can have one, is essential.
We're talking with Ryan Young, a senior economist at the Great Competitive Enterprise Institute, which is always on the lookout to help the whole sense of free market capitalism and the success of business in our country, thank God. So where are we going? I mean, the energy prices are apparently, from what I'm reading, gas prices, et cetera, are about to go up again, possibly because countries like Saudi Arabia have decided to slow down their production. Is that correct?
Yeah, and gas prices tend to go up every summer anyway because people drive more. But the lesson from that is that that's actually why inflation is a little bit worse right now. During March, prices were going down. But when gas prices go up and down, that doesn't have anything to do with the supply of money. Inflation has to do with how many dollars exist, how many dollars are floating around, and you know whether or not Saudi Arabia makes this or that production decision doesn't affect the number of dollars in existence. So that's... Supply shocks are not inflation. Inflation is monetary.
So the Fed has to print fewer dollar bills, right?
They
have to print fewer dollars so that we just let whatever's out there now float around from hand to hand. And
good monetary policy is a matching game. If the economy grows by 5%, grow the money supply by 5%. If it shrinks the money supply by a matching amount. There are lag times and complications, but if you want monetary policy in a nutshell, that's it. It's a matching game. The Fed's done a terrible job of it. They're starting to do the right thing again, but you know, what's going on with oil prices doesn't have anything to do with that monetary matching game. It's still a problem. That's still something policymakers should worry about and that consumers should worry about, but it's not related to the underlying inflation.
Mm-hmm. So the Fed's next interest rate decision comes in a couple of weeks, in the first week in May or something like that, right?
That's right. And looking like they're going to increase rates again, they're currently topped out at 5% for the one interest rate that they do adjust. That's actually below zero in real terms. That's something that a lot of people aren't talking about. That interest rate is still negative in real terms. That's another reason why I'm pushing for them to increase that rate. If inflation is about 5.5% and that rate's only about 5, you usually want it to be 1 point or 2 points above the inflation rate. So they should be shooting for 6.5%, 7.5%, somewhere in that range.
I see.
So they still have some work to do.
So how is this affecting the average Joe that's going to the store and buying things? I mean, when I go to the store and I'm buying certain things, I mean, I still see a shortage on the shelves for certain products. So whatever is going on right now, there's a shortage of certain products, and it does seem like every product is more expensive than it was a couple of months ago. Am I wrong about that?
No, you're right. I mean, like we said earlier, when you mess with the price system, you mess with everything. So we're seeing that in people's, you know, whether do you spend more now and out of fear of further inflation? Do you hold back because you think it's going to get better? Different people are going to react differently. That's going to affect store inventory. It's going to affect businesses and their supply chain decisions as they look at what prices are going to look like 6 months or even a year from now, not just what they're like today.
Mm-hmm.
It throws everything into chaos, and the faster and the more variable the inflation, the more chaos there is.
Okay,
we've got it good compared to other countries, but there's still it's not ideal.
So we know what the Fed needs to do. What does Congress need to do, Ryan, and what does Biden need to do right now, if anything, to help this?
One, they need to spend less. Two, the Fed has too complicated a job. They can actually do a fantastic job of controlling inflation if that was the only thing they have to worry about. But their other job is to give economic stimulus and try to boost employment when the economy is showing signs of recession. Those missions contradict each other because the way you boost employment and the way you give stimulus is by boosting the inflation rate. So you can have low inflation or low unemployment. Pick and choose. You can only do one. You can't do both. And the Fed oscillating back and forth between those two missions makes them incoherent and really reduces their effect.
So this goes to my the thing about the Federal Reserve and its function to begin with. It's the same thing that I hear Rand Paul talk about on a regular basis. Whether or not the Federal Reserve overall, down through all of these years, and it was established in 1913, has it been better for our country that it's been in existence all of these years, as opposed to never having had a Federal Reserve? I know it's a theoretical question, of course, but one wonders if we just let the free market and the private banking industry and the private sector deal with this without this kind of put the thumb on the scales Federal Reserve situation, you know?
Yeah, compared to a free banking system like some economists talk about, yes, the Federal Reserve is worse, and we would have been better off without it. But would such a system actually have emerged? I don't think so. So the Federal Reserve has plenty of flaws. We're working on fixing them. We'll see if anybody listens. But compared to realistic, politically possible alternatives, it probably is about the best we can do.
Well,
not the most optimistic thing to say.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to sweep it out. It's here. You know, it's like some of these other things that we have. I mean, we can wish them away, but the truth is that they're here to stay. You know, we've gotten used to it. It's like when we talk here about the government, you know, running our retirement program, Social Security and the like. A case can be made that had they never interfered with the free market in terms of people, you know, saving for themselves and allowing people to have personal responsibility to do it, we might be better off. We might not be in the debt that we are in. We're in $32 trillion worth of debt. A lot of it has to do with the fact that we're funding everybody in their retirement programs. But that, of course, go ahead. I know I'm going off tangent a little bit, but you know what I'm talking about here.
No, you're right. And a system of personal accounts would address a lot of that. A lot of us are working on trying to convince Congress to actually touch that third rail and do it. Because you're right, the system we have is unsustainable. It's contributing directly to both current and to future inflation because of all those unfunded liabilities. Add in Medicare, you're talking $100 trillion.
Yes.
Almost
oh.
Four times GDP.
Yeah, I remember in 65, Lyndon Johnson, you know, the whole concept of the Great Society in 1965 was to end poverty. No, it's possibly worse than it was then. And with all the spending the federal government has done towards that, we're in worse shape. So this is the whole concept of having the intrusion of the federal government into the free market system. But I know it's apparently here to stay, at least for, you know, in our lifetimes. Is anybody ever going to get any political courage, like you say, the third rail and Social Security and cutting back on all of the welfare programs? Is anybody ever going to get the courage to say that? I mean, they may have to take the sword of Damocles, but somebody's got to start the ball rolling.
Well, if something cannot go on forever, it will stop. It'll take something drastic for either party to gather up any courage, but eventually they have to.
The floor falls through, and all of a sudden, you know, we're totally in a situation where, you know, and then we're in panic mode. I mean, when they talk about Social Security, are we not talking about maybe the next several years that it may go bust? And we got to deal with it before then, do we not, to make sure it doesn't?
Yeah, I mean, the trust fund is already bankrupt, and Social Security is already relying on general revenues instead of the incoming taxes that they've historically relied on. So it's already on that path.
Yeah. So getting back to the inflation situation, you do think, Ryan, that the Federal Reserve is on the right track right now. Is that right?
So far, Chairman Powell has been very focused on managing people's expectations, because inflation tends to linger because, you know, frankly, the Fed and Congress don't have any credibility when it comes to fighting inflation. So he needs to build that up by continuing to raise rates. Congress and the president need to continue to abstain from big spending binges. If they can do that, then when people budget and save for the future and think what are prices going to look like 6 months or a year from now, they will expect inflation to lower, and that will, in part, be a self-fulfilling prophecy. The money supply is the big story, but right now expectations are a big part of the story as well.
If the Republican Congress, which is the spending authority in our system of government, can hold on to their bravery or whatever it is and, you know, not get too wobbly, maybe we can slow down some of this spending.
That's a big ask, but yeah.
It is. It's a huge one. All right, my friend. Always a pleasure. Thank you so very much, Ryan, for coming on, and we always enjoy chatting with you.
Oh, thank you, Paul.
All right, sir. Ryan Young, Competitive Enterprise Institute. We are going to take our break. When we come back, a stenographer. He was flying with Joe Biden on a plane as vice president. He's got a story to tell about the whole Biden family and the corruption going on. We're going to talk about it.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
Tune in to the Shrink and Wrap Show here on Tan Talk Radio. Our stories and our topics will include but are not limited to everyday issues. We're here for you, for our listeners. We want to know what's important to you. So again, don't miss us on Tan Talk Radio. Tune in again, Shrink and Wrap Show. We'll see you then.
That's the Shrink and Wrap Show every Thursday from 3 to 4 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Well, all I want is a party doll to come along with me when I'm feeling wild, to be ever loving, true and fair, to run her fingers through my hair. Come along.
Hey, we are back on a Friday, and as we are talking, that Jack Teixeira, the National Guard guy that's accused of leaking all these documents, he's in court right now in Boston. He must be shaking in his boots, wondering why the heck he did what he did. In the meantime, a former Obama administration staffer and a stenographer that would ride with Joe Biden in his plane as vice president from time to time is blowing the whistle on the whole Biden family's business dealings, accusing Biden of being involved in a kickback scheme in connection with his son Hunter's overseas business dealings while vice president. This guy's name is Mike McCormick. I saw him on Fox News a couple of days ago. He says, I've got the goods on him. He said, I'm trying to contact the FBI. I've got all this information. He was a stenographer for the White House for 15 years. He says the FBI is ignoring his alarms on the whole thing, despite his willingness to testify under oath before a federal grand jury. He says this, in February, I went to the FBI, I filed one of their tips on their website. If you do that and you're lying, you go to jail. I'm not lying. I'm telling the truth and I'm not going to go to jail. He says Joe Biden is a criminal. He was conducting malfeasance in office to enrich his family. He says Jake Sullivan is a conspirator in that. And there's more. He said Obama officials involved in it too, I believe. Now, this guy McCormick, Mark McCormick, he worked with Biden from 2011 to 2017 while Biden was vice president. He detailed a key dialogue involving Biden and his aide, Jake Sullivan, and the press when they were on Air Force Two before a trip to the Ukraine in 2014. He said Jake Sullivan, who was the current, by the way, the current National Security Advisor, Jake Sullivan outlined in a transcript Biden's priorities for his trip, which included U.S. investment in the Ukrainian energy sector days after Hunter Biden joined Burisma, the energy company connected to the government of the Ukraine. I mean, is that a coincidence or is it a coincidence? No, it's not a coincidence. Months later, and well after the trip, Congress allocated $50 million to Ukraine's energy market. Why would Congress authorize $50 million at that time, this is before the war, to the Ukraine energy market? Could you explain that one to me, under the Obama administration? This guy, Mike McCormick, was on to say, I'm sitting back there on the plane with a tape recorder. Jake Sullivan, he comes back and somebody asks about fracking. His answer is, well, we're bringing a lot of American assistance over to the Ukraine for fracking. Burisma was the direct beneficiary of that fracking, and that's what I recorded, and that is in a White House transcript. He says in the transcript, you don't know who Jake Sullivan is. It's a senior administration official. That's the only way it's listed in the transcript. He says, I'm the witness that says it's Jake Sullivan who said, and he should be investigated because at the time Hunter Biden was on the board of Burisma, and Joe Biden is bringing American taxpayer money to enrich that company and himself and his family. This was also the time, I think, when Biden decided that he would withhold $1 billion unless they fired the prosecutor.
Correct.
You remember that?
Yes.
He made a big deal. He Joe Biden boasted about it. He said, son of a bitch, they fired him. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
He said that on the air.
Yeah.
So what is the FBI and this grand jury doing in this whole investigation?
Why does everything...
Unbelievable that they aren't doing a damn thing about it.
We keep talking about the laptop. Why does that just come and go and come and go?
It's being stifled and buried by the administration.
By the
Justice Department.
That's what's going on. What they're doing to Trump is criminal about bringing this stuff up and not being able to prove it. But on the other Republican Party, you've got the laptop. You keep talking about the laptop. We want some proof and follow through and finish this thing.
The Republican Party.
Yeah, exactly. Biden and his son are dirty, then expose them.
But they are trying to do that, Ed. They are going to have all of these people, and I'm guessing that this guy will come before a House committee because the Republican House has the decision-making on
that. Can't we speed things up? But they can't prosecute him.
It's the Department of Justice that can prosecute, and they have decided to put a lid on this. because they're under the administration. See, this is the problem.
Right. I understand.
This is why we need an independent prosecutor.
It's like Biden signing the checks.
We need an independent prosecutor. Yeah. Somebody that is not tethered to the Justice Department and doesn't report to the Attorney General, who reports to Biden.
It's like trying to sue your boss and think you still have a job.
There you go.
Yeah, I understand that.
It's all connected. So we need a complete... Of course, you know that the Attorney General isn't going to call for an independent prosecutor.
No, but I mean, supposedly they have a copy of this hard drive.
Of course they do.
Well, then
they
let them get it out there. Well, when there's something on Trump, it gets put on the front burner. Everything else is pushed aside and go out. Well, by golly, go after him.
I agree. So maybe the House will be, you know, holding these hearings. You know they're going to be holding these hearings.
Listen,
They can't do anything as long as... You got one other issue. You got one other issue, by the way. And that is that you can't go and basically indict for a felony or whatever the president while he's still president. You can do it after he leaves office. You know, you got that issue going on, too.
What happened to no one's above the law?
I know.
What happened to that phrase?
I agree. I think that impeachment is this guy Biden is much more eligible for impeachment charges than Trump ever was. And so the House, knowing that the Senate will never convict, but the House is where the impeachment itself occurs, right? They can impeach him. They can bring him up for an impeachment if they don't get wobbly on it. They can impeach him like they impeached Trump.
Well, I'm just tired of it surfacing and then going away and then resurfacing.
Correct.
And finish it.
Correct. Now,
you know,
I've got an associated story about Hunter Biden. By the way, Hunter is over there with Joe. Did you know that? Over in Ireland. That's real chutzpah. Hunter Biden wandering around publicly with Joe Biden. I guess Joe doesn't care, or he thinks he's completely protected.
Let me give you an analogy. Can you imagine if there was a photo of Donald Trump Jr. smoking crack
with a girlfriend,
with a hooker,
with a hooker?
How that would be displayed, probably on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine if a laptop...
And every time Don Jr. was with his father in another country, that photo would be displayed.
Can you imagine if they found a laptop with Trump Jr. talking about payoffs to his father as president of the United States from overseas?
They're trying to indict...
Can you imagine
They're trying to prosecute the whole family now.
That would... They would move so quickly on Trump, your head would spin. So here's the associate story I want to talk about. Hunter, excuse me. President Biden's embattled son Hunter was invited to accompany him, and I guess an aunt. So the sister of Biden is also on this trip over to Ireland. Despite continued scrutiny over the foreign business dealings, but apparently Hunter Biden and his firm, Hunter's been very busy. He sought Irish government investments, too. Did you know that? He was involved with trying to get money out of Ireland while his dad was vice president. In 2011, Hunter's partners at his now-defunct investment firm discussed making contacts to expand their energy investments in various state-owned investment funds, not only in China, but also in Ireland, Oman, and Qatar, according to the emails that have been reviewed by outside sources.
Maybe he's over there selling his paintings again, too. They're $20,000 a piece.
Very, very busy.
The only thing Hunter Biden specializes in is DNA. That's the only thing he's got going his way.
I guess.
I mean, he doesn't have any skills.
No. You got to give him credit. He's been able to take total advantage of his DNA.
Oh, absolutely. That's the only thing he's able to do.
Absolutely. He's right. All right. We're going to take our final break. Among other things, when we come back, the U.S. dollar is about to take a back seat to the Chinese yen on the world market. Is it a big concern? We're going to take a look.
is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
Tune in Saturdays from 3 to 5 p.m. for Miss Sarah's Dynamic Gospel Power Show. That's 2 hours of great gospel music every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m., all brought to you by the Ozona Pig Restaurant in Ozona. Yes, that's every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. It's Miss Sarah's Dynamic Gospel Power Show. Tune in on the Tan Talk Radio Network. You got to be safe. You got
to be safe. This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works on a Friday here in Tampa Bay. We thank you for joining us. Always glad to have you on board. But if you can't listen to us live, thanks to Ed, all of our programs are on podcast. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. All you have to do is go to our website, which is OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com, and at the top, click on the podcast button. Ed's got all the shows, from the most recent show at the top all the way down. You'll see who the guest is and what the top 10 is. You can turn the thing on, you know, listen for 10 or 15 minutes, pause it, go out and have a drink or something, come back, listen to some more. Do it at your leisure. OurFreedomWorks.com. All right. So, the rise of China as an economic powerhouse in global trade in recent decades has sparked concern about the long-term status of the U.S. dollar on the world's market. You know that the dollar has been the world's primary currency reserve for every country since the end of World War II.
It's nice. I mean, I've been on cruise ships and where you go into a different, like Mexico or something.
The dollar is always taken.
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly.
You don't have to worry about exchanging money.
Exactly, exactly. The dollar, and you know, so we've grown up with that concept, but it may be about to change. China recently announced a deal with Brazil to what they call denominate more of their bilateral trade in their own currencies instead of the dollar. China is also in talks to buy oil from Saudi Arabia and other oil-rich Gulf countries in its Chinese yen currency rather than the dollar. And these countries are starting to listen and starting to act. Now, that's the beginning of what could be a domino effect. That, if other countries start doing that as well,
that wouldn't be a problem if we were drilling at home.
Of course it wouldn't be. If we would start drilling again with all the natural resources that we have in Alaska and, you know, all over the place. You know, another thing I was listening to, speaking about that, you know, when they talk about, you know, shutting down fracking and shutting down the production of oil here and going to electric, you know how much copper you have to use for those batteries?
Ugh.
You know?
We don't have
enough copper production.
Do you know what
to withstand all of the electric batteries?
The mechanical power that it takes to mine those ingredients that they need for the batteries.
Nobody can think past their forehead about this. You know, we got to shut down. It's polluting. It's polluting. In the meantime, we're going over and getting everything from the world's biggest polluter.
I tell you, Paul,
China is producing all of this stuff and polluting all over the place.
I am very, very worried, and I don't know what's going on, but all these batteries that we're using these days, you know, it used to be that you had some double A's or triple A's and a D battery or a C battery, and and you took it down to the store and they recycled it, you put them in a bin or whatever. I mean, you go down your street and when people are mowing their lawns and weed whacking and blowing the leads, they're all battery powered. And they only last a couple of years, and you got to replace them. Where are these batteries going? That's just those you.
Yeah, because
and then you got car batteries too.
You're talking about landfill issues.
Exactly.
With all of this stuff.
Are they just people just say, throw in the trash?
So on the one hand, we're talking about stopping petroleum product.
Right.
On the other hand, we're filling up all of our.
I mean, Paul, that'd be like us saying, "Okay, I'm going to get an oil change. When take the old oil and just throw it in the backyard."
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Yeah, so we're polluting in one way, claiming that we're stopping polluting in another.
You get an oil change, they charge you $5 a disposal fee.
Absolutely. All right, Ed, let's talk about something a little more enjoyable.
Oh, man.
The Tampa Bay Rays have won 13 straight games since the beginning of this. They don't even know they don't know what losing is all about. They don't. So here, let me ask you this. They're about, if they can win tonight, are they playing, who are they playing tonight?
They're in Toronto, so okay. They're playing the Blue Jays tonight.
All right, they're playing the Blue Jays. If they win that game tonight, they will have broken the record for starting out with the most wins in Major League Baseball history.
Yeah.
History. Yep. So let me ask you this. Why are they so damn good?
Well, pitching, you got to look at pitching. I mean, it's unbelievable. The other day, they brought in a rookie, and started him against the Red Sox. He goes five innings. He gave up, I think, a couple of runs late. And this kid was so young that when the game is over and the players go out on the high five, it looked like some kid had wandered out onto the field and got amongst these guys high-fiving each other. That's how young this kid is. But they keep finding these prospects. And you got to wonder, when they go to trade somebody, a pitcher, to another team, that other team's got to go, what's wrong with this guy? I mean, why would you get rid of this guy? They know what they're doing. They see the talent, or they're coaching them correctly. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the
I'm going to say
it's the system?
I think it's the system.
Okay.
I think they must have the best.
Is it the player or the system?
I think the system, because they keep bringing in these kids, and these kids are performing. I mean, they have to have the talent, these kids, to begin with. It's not like you can take some kid and then teach him to become great.
We used to talk about the Bucks defense in the early 2000s, where they kept plugging in players, and then they'd be great. And the defense was always great every year. Boom, boom, boom. And some players would go off to another team, and you never heard of them again. So was it the player that made the system or the system that made the player?
Well, the system
made
the player.
Is that what's following over here with the Rays? Anyway, to answer your question, it starts with pitching.
Of course it does.
And then all of a sudden, we've got bats. And these guys are getting up the bat, and they're getting on base. I used to scream at the TV last year. Everybody's swinging for the fence. Get on base. Get on base, and then you can swing for the fence. And it's producing more runs. They're scoring 9. They're scoring 10 runs. They have scored in 13 games 101 runs. And they've held their opponents to 30.
I don't see any flaw in the team right now. And their defense is good, too.
We haven't seen it yet because they haven't lost yet.
But, I mean, their defense is good.
They were down 3-1 yesterday in the fourth. Everybody's going, here it comes.
It's just everything's working for them.
Their pitcher got hurt, and one guy said, hey, listen, this game isn't over. Let's go.
Also, do we need to talk about the Lightning real quickly? Are they going into the playoffs?
They're in the playoffs. I believe they're resting players.
In fact, is the regular season over now?
I believe it is.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
I think they're going to be playing the Toronto Maple Leafs in the first round.
Yeah.
So we have to. I'm not sure when that starts. I think next week.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Very good. It's time for our top 10. Now, our last show, we had the most patriotic states in the U.S. This comes from Wallet Hub. We are now going to do the least patriotic states. Ed, I want you to think real hard and listen while you're rolling the drums.
We were in the Northeast a lot.
Yeah.
The most patriotics.
Yeah. We had, do you remember what the number one state was? I know it's not easy to remember because there's been so much.
Remember.
It's Alaska that was the most.
Oh, yeah.
Remember
yeah,
we talked
okay,
about
yeah.
all the military that are up there? Okay. Anyway, so Wallet Hub compared states across 13 key indicators of patriotism, all right? military enlistees, veterans, the share of adults who actually voted in the last presidential election, and AmeriCorps volunteers. So all of that factors into it. So here we go. Number 10. Louisiana is number 10 most patriotic state.
What I was going to say, we're probably going to be in the South now. Well, you can't get any more South than Louisiana.
That's true. That's true. Let's find out. Number 9. Pennsylvania. They ain't in the South.
No. Nope.
But they're a patriotic state. They're one of our big states, you know, in the original 13 colonies. All right. Number 8. Alabama. Now, Alabama, you would think, because that follows your theory, right?
Right.
Southern state, a lot of military. Okay, number 7. How about this one? Indiana. Now, Indiana in the Midwest has always been a conservative state. It's always been basically a Republican state. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
It's next to Illinois. And anyway, it's continues to be patriotic. Number 6. Now, this one surprised me a little bit. Connecticut.
Really?
Connecticut. Another one of, the original 13. Number 5. Massachusetts.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Massachusetts. They're high in civic engagement. Let's see, number 4. Florida. Florida, now they're very high in military engagement.
Okay, well that kind of offsets. Okay.
They're not high in, believe it or not, they're 49th out of 50 in civic engagement, but they're like 19th for military engagement. We have a lot of military in Florida. Number 3. Rhode Island. Yeah, little Rhode Island. I don't know what it is. They seem to be just middle of the road when it comes to both military and civic. Number 2, New York. I don't know why, but New York, I mean, these are not southern states, Ed. All right, buddy, what do you think is the number 1? I'll give you a hint. It is in the South.
It is in the South.
Yeah.
How about Georgia?
You know what? I think that's a doggone good guess. But it's Arkansas.
Mm.
Arkansas. Arkansas, overall, is the most patriotic state in the country. Now, they're only 29th out of 50 in military, and they're 50th out of 50 in civic engagement. So I don't know how it... you know what? These are the least patriotic states.
Right, yeah.
I apologize. I got confused here. Mm. All of these. So Arkansas is the least patriotic.
You had a Biden moment.
I've had a Biden couple of minutes here. So all of these states are the least patriotic. I thought Florida would be a patriotic state. So forget what I said. These are all. Arkansas is the least patriotic state. And there you go. All right. Thank you so very much. We will be back on Monday. Have a wonderful weekend. And remember, freedom works.
Them like they do in Texas, please. Fold them, let them hit me, raise it, baby, stay with me.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3.
Listen.
And a happy Friday, Tantalk listeners. Here's a look at your weekend forecast. We're expecting a high this afternoon of 81 degrees. Very small possibility of a passing shower. Tonight's low 69, tomorrow's high at 83. And on Sunday, looking a high at 84 degrees. Just a very small chance of rain all weekend long. Sunset this evening is at 7:56. Have a good weekend, everybody. Now here's the latest of CBS News.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Steele.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. The Biden administration and an abortion pill manufacturer have just asked the Supreme Court to preserve access to a commonly used pregnancy termination medication. Stacey Lynn has our top story.
The Justice Department and the maker of mifepristone, Danko Laboratories, have asked the Supreme Court to intervene and put on hold the lower court's ruling.